Isaiah chapter 45, and let's pray. Father, we thank you as we look into your word this morning. We acknowledge that your word is the truth. Your word is the power of salvation unto us who believe. Your word is the lamp to our feet and the light to our path, to help us to walk in victory over the darkness of this world. Thank you for opening the eyes of our understanding to the revelation of the truth that is contained in the passage of Scripture that we are studying this morning. And help us, dear Lord, to apply this truth to our lives. Not just sometimes when we feel like it, but at all times and in every situation. For you said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of your mouth. Thank you, Father, for instructing us in the way of your kingdom this morning. For in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, amen. Praise God. Isaiah chapter 45. I will encourage you when you get home to study the whole chapter. Because right there we see how God would call somebody, whoever God wants to use, and equip them to get the job done. If God wants to use any man, he knows how to equip that person to do exactly what he has called them to do. Why? Because God created all men. And he knows every one of us, Bible says. And he knows how to input into our lives what we need in every situation to accomplish his purpose. And this is what brings encouragement to our hearts as Christians, that we have God on our side. We have someone that really knows us and knows what we need and knows how to equip us with what we need in order to accomplish every divine destiny that he has for us in our generation. Remember, as Bible teaches us, none of us is in this world by accident. God brought us into this world, the day, the moment, the place that he brought us through according to his will. You couldn't have been born in any other country than the one you were born in. Because God chose the place you were born, the family you were born into for his purpose. He told Jeremiah, he said, before I formed you, I knew you. And before you were formed in your mother's belly, even before your mother knew that there was going to be somebody called Jeremiah, before she conceived you, I already knew you from the beginning. And I ordained you to be a prophet unto the nations. You see, our God is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the God who knows the end from the beginning. He knows everything. He knew you. He knew your days. He knew your purpose. And he said in Jeremiah, I know the thoughts that I think toward you. They are thoughts of peace. They are not thoughts of evil to give you an expected end. So you have an expected end to your life. And God knows it. No man knows it. You don't know it. Nobody knows it. But God knows it. And the Holy Spirit, as Bible says, who searches the deep things of God, knows it. And that's why we have to understand the place of the Holy Spirit in our lives as Christians. Because as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Where is the Holy Spirit leading us to? To the expected end that the Father has for us. Because he knows it. If you are a Christian, the Holy Spirit is in your life to order your steps every day and guide you in the way you should go so that you can arrive at the destiny that God has for you in this life and also, of course, in the one to come. He's the one preparing us as the bride of Christ. And that's why we have to learn to depend on the Holy Spirit more than we depend on anything or anyone else in this world. In fact, there's no point depending on anything else. When you have the Holy Spirit, you have everything. Glory to God in the highest. Hallelujah. Now, let us drop down for the sake of time, because what we want to see here again is to prepare us for the time of seeking the Lord, which we are entering into shortly, in a few days' time, so to say, because now we are counting days until the 1st of December, and we shall be seeking the Lord corporately with fasting and praying. And also, the truth is what we can apply to our lives at all times. The word of God is applicable at all times. Now let's drop down to verse 18. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 18. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Verse 19. I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Amen and amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now look at verse 18. I want you to underline in your Bible here the phrase right in the middle of verse 18 there. He created it not in vain. He created it not in vain. He, that's God, created not the earth in vain. In other words, when God purposed to create this earth that we live on right now, Bible says he didn't do so just for doing sake or just because he just wanted to try something out. He had a definite purpose. He did not create the earth in vain. He created the earth according to his purpose. And we all know the purpose why he created the earth, don't we? As Christians, we know that he created the earth for man. Because Bible tells us that the heavens, they belong to God. But the earth, he has made or given to the sons of men. He created the earth for Adam to rule over, just as he, Jehovah, was ruling over the heavens. God made the earth for man. He made it and put in the earth everything that man needed to thrive. But unfortunately, Adam messed it up in the garden. And then the earth became a place of toil, a place that was cursed for the sake of man. Instead of blessing, it became a place of curse just because of sin. And today the earth is still suffering under the weight of sin. And that is why you and I as Christians have to understand that this earth is not our home. We are just passing through. We are sojourners here on earth, because the earth as we see it today is reserved for destruction. There's coming a time when this old earth and everything that we see in here is going to be dissolved with the fervent heat of God. Bible teaches us very clearly in 2 Peter chapter 3. Our focus is on God and the things of the kingdom of God where we belong as Christians. Philippians chapter 3 verse 20, Bible says our conversation, in other words, our citizenship is in heaven, not in this earth. But while we are here on earth, we have a duty to perform to the glory of God. We are called to be the light of the world. We are called to be the salt of the earth. And we are the people that can make the difference necessary in the earth while this earth remains. Until God dissolves it with his heat. We can make the difference. And that is why we must learn to focus on God and draw resources from God on a daily basis so that we can have God and his resources to give to those we come in contact with in the world. All of creation is waiting, Bible says in Romans chapter 8, for the manifestation of the sons of God. All of creation. Because creation is burdened with sin. The sin of Adam and the curse that came upon this earth because of Adamic sin is weighing down upon all of creation. So they are crying out in pain, traveling, looking for solution, looking for help in the mystery that they face daily. But we have the help in God. Hallelujah. And we can show them the way. We can show them the way. We can show them the way. Say to yourself, I can show somebody the way. Because I have God in me. Hallelujah. Now, again, look at that phrase. God did not make this earth in vain. But where we are going this morning is verse 19. But it's good to see the background, to see that our Father God does everything he does on purpose. He doesn't do anything in vain. He doesn't do anything in vain. And because of that, he expects us as his children not to do anything in vain either. Bible says we should be followers of God or imitators of God as their children. In Ephesians chapter 5 verse 1, that's what Bible says. We have to follow God. God is our Father. He shows us the way, we follow in his steps. We have to be imitators or followers of God as their children. Therefore, look at verse 19. I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. Please underline that in your Bible. God didn't say to us as his covenant children. Seed of Jacob there talks about Israel, the covenant children of God. And that applies to you and I today as Christians. As Christians. Because what God said to Israel of old, he's saying the same thing to Israel of new. We are the spiritual Israelites, Bible says. So God is not saying to us, seek ye me in vain. Which means every effort we put into seeking God, as far as God is concerned, must be rewarded. But if we are really honest with ourselves, not every one of us get reward from God for seeking him. Why is that so? When God's plan is for us to be rewarded for seeking him. Every time we seek him, he wants to reward us. Why are we missing out on the reward? Well, obviously, because we are not seeking him the right way. For instance, the Bible says we shall seek him and find him when we search for him with all our hearts. Isn't that so? So what happens if I seek God and I don't do so with all my heart? Well, I'm not going to find him, so I'm going to end up seeking God in vain. You begin to see these things. God's plan is that every effort we put into seeking him will be adequately rewarded. And the reward that God has for us is not just for this world only, but also for the one to come. In fact, turn with me quickly. We shall come back to Isaiah chapter 45. Turn with me very quickly to Hebrews chapter 11. Let's look at a few other scriptures to buttress the truth that God has a plan to reward us every time we seek him. In fact, even for coming to church this morning, there's a reward for you from God. Why? Because you've left everything. You could have chosen to be somewhere else today. But you've left everything. You put everything aside and you chose to come and seek God in fellowship. Well, there's a reward for you for that. Both in this life and in the one to come. In fact, my Bible tells me that when we all stand before the judgment seat of Christ at the appointed time, the books will be opened. Isn't that what the Bible says? Because God has a record. That's why he's able to open the books to reward us based on the record of how we did while we were here on earth. He will reward you even for every time you come to church. Why? Because he said we should come to church. Isn't that so? Don't forsake the assembling together of the brethren. Every act of obedience that we embark on as Christians, God will reward us, both in this life and in the one to come. God is no man's debtor. He's not going to owe anybody anything. Every obedience will be rewarded with blessings. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 11. So whether we look under the Old Testament or the New, we see God the same. God doesn't change. He's a very consistent God. You know, many of us, when we are ignorant of the truth, you know what we do? We hide under the cloak of the common saying, you know, God is mysterious. You really can't find him out. No. God is not mysterious. The problem is we are ignorant. We need to seek wisdom from God and say, God, show us so that we can know. Hallelujah. God doesn't want to keep us in the dark. He wants us to have knowledge and understanding of the things that we need to know in this present world. Hallelujah. Even Jesus, while he was here on earth, remember, he taught his disciples by parables, and he said unto them that it was given unto them to understand the things of the mystery of God. Didn't Jesus say that to his disciples? But unto the world, it is not given to understand. So, the world can say, God is mysterious. And I'll tell them, yes, to you is mysterious. Because you don't have the spirit of understanding in you. But to me, God is not mysterious because the spirit dwells in me to show me what I need to know. What he doesn't want me to know, of course, it's not necessary for me. So there's no point in me looking into those things. Bible says the secret things belong to God. But the things that are revealed unto men belong to us and to our children after us. So that we may observe to do the things that are written in the book of the law. Hallelujah. Now in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that seek him. Is that what the Bible says there? He's a rewarder of them that seek him. What does the Bible say? Diligently. So we begin to see that it is possible to seek God and seek him in vain. If I don't seek him with diligence, I will end up seeking God in vain. His plan for me is not to seek him in vain. That's why he said in Isaiah 45 that we just read, verse 19, that I didn't say to the seed of Jacob, my covenant children, I didn't say to them, seek him in vain. So they are the ones missing it. Because they are disobeying me. So they are not getting the reward that I want them to have because of their disobedience. And the same thing applies to us today. So God says he rewards those who diligently seek him. As long as I seek God diligently, there is a reward for me. So it's good for us to begin to prepare to seek God diligently in the time of fasting and praying that we are about to enter into, because there will be great reward for us. Hallelujah. And again, apply this truth to your life daily. Not just for seasons of fasting and praying only. Let's also turn to Luke chapter 18. So New Testament, Old Testament, the same. Praise God. The word of God never passes away. So don't say Old Testament has passed away. So you are saying God has passed away then. Because God has and his word are one. If you already say that the Old Testament has passed away, you have already said God is no longer there for you. Rather, don't let the devil rob you of the blessings that belong to you. Whether you talk about old or new, it's still the same today. The only things that have changed are things that have been remodeled into new format. That's the way I can put it for you. For instance, we still need blood sacrifice today, don't we? But we don't need bulls and goats blood anymore, because we have the blood of Jesus. So otherwise, none of you will be here this morning without bringing goat, or maybe ram, or cattle, or turtle dove. You dare not come in through that gate without anything this morning. You have to bring blood. And then this whole place will be so messy this morning with blood on the altar. And every one of us here will be going through rituals of sanctification and making ourselves clean before God. Otherwise, we could fall down dead and not be able to go back home. But we still need blood sacrifice, but now we have the blood of Jesus. Glory to God. So the Old Testament is still in the new right now. Just remodeled. Hallelujah. Now look at Luke chapter 18. Thank God, thank God, thank God. Our God is so good. Verses 28 to 30, because of time, let's go. Verses 28 to 30. Luke chapter 18. Let's go. Then Peter said, "Lo, we have left all and followed thee." And he said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that has left house, or parents, or brethren, or wife, or children, for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time, and in the world to come, life everlasting." Where this came from? The mouth of Jesus himself, the head of the church. He said, no one. He's not talking about the ministers of the gospel only. He's talking about every believer who has made personal sacrifice for the sake of the kingdom of God. No matter what sacrifice you make for the sake of the kingdom, Jesus himself said, you are going to be rewarded for it. Hundredfold. Another scripture says, but here Jesus said manifold. In fact, I prefer to just say manifold and not limit God. If God wants to multiply my seed 1 billion-fold, yes, Lord, I'm ready. Someone says, do I need a billion? Well, I don't need it for myself, but it can go into the work of God. Imagine what £1 billion will do to evangelize the world today. I mean, if only to print books and materials and tracts and then get loads, truck loads of food and go to places where people are hungry and just tell them, come and eat freely, take the word of life freely, take the food for your soul freely, and just live and be blessed. And all these things come to you from God who created the heavens and the earth because he loves you. You don't need to pay a penny for it, just receive it freely. Hallelujah. Wouldn't that be wonderful? They would love to hear about the God that brings them food every morning. that kind of God is the God they've been looking for. Maybe they've been worshiping idols that has been taking the little food that they even have and not giving them anything. And now they see a God that is not taking anything from them but giving them everything. Oh, they'll say, well, this God is better than the one. The one we've been worshiping so long, that one has been stealing from us. The little oil and the little cake we have, he will just take it and we'll go hungry. But this other God that this person is talking about has not taken anything from us, but he brings us everything, everything. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So, this is what we are talking about. God will reward us. Also, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. See, once we can apply our hearts to this truth, we can prepare ourselves to seek God in the time of fasting and praying, expecting to be rewarded. Hallelujah. Because God has a plan to reward us for seeking him. And we shouldn't feel guilty about that kind of thought. Say, I'm seeking the Lord, expecting to be rewarded. In fact, we should be bold, because that's God's plan for us. So as you prepare to fast and pray, you can wake up every morning and say, praise God. Oh, the time of blessings are upon me, because I'm going to seek the Lord the right way and I will be rewarded. Seek him with all your heart. Seek him with all diligence. You will never miss out on the reward, because that's God's plan for you. As long as you seek him the right way, with all your heart, and then you seek him diligently, he will ensure that you are rewarded. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Praise God forevermore. Verse 58. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Let us read together. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Please underline that in your Bible. Every one of us as believers ought to know this truth, that our labor in the Lord is not in vain. There is no sacrifice you make to obey God's word that is in vain. God will ensure that you are rewarded for it. For instance, if God says to me that when somebody slaps me on one side of my face, I should turn the other side to them to get another slap. I'm not talking literally now. You understand what I'm talking about? But this is what the word of God says. In other words, instead of me reacting to repay evil with evil, I repay with good. Well, don't you understand that God will reward me for that? Because he knows I've made a personal sacrifice. Because left to my flesh, I won't repay somebody who does me evil with any good. My flesh will want to eat back and repay them with their own coins, as we say. Repay them in their own coins. If you slap me on one face, well, I will slap you on your own face too. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But because of the word of God and my willingness to obey God rather than myself, I turn the other side of my face. I say, well, you can slap this also if you like. Not literally now. Then, God, seeing that from heaven, records it in his book as an act of obedience. And he has to reward me for it, both in this life and in the one to come. So there is a reward. Our labor in the Lord is not in vain. So please, get your pen and paper and jot down these notes to meditate in, because we are going to pray in a short while. You go home and begin to prepare your heart with the knowledge of the truth that we have shared this morning. That your effort in seeking God is not in vain. So put all diligence into it. Give all your heart into it. Because you are going to be rewarded. You are going to be rewarded by God himself. The first statement I want you to write down is this. Everything God does is never in vain. So we begin with God. It's good to begin with God so that we can know that's our example. So everything God does is never in vain. In other words, it's never done in vain, including the creation of the whole heaven and earth. In front of that, please put the scripture that we looked at earlier, Isaiah chapter 45 verse 18. So we see the example of God. He did not create the earth in vain. He created it to be inhabited. There was a purpose. Now, make this next statement. So we are just to imitate God as their children, as Bible says in Ephesians 5 verse 1. Similarly, God does not want us as his children to do anything in vain. So what I'm trying to get across to us is that just as our Father God doesn't do anything in vain, he doesn't want us as his children to do anything in vain either. And in front of that, please write the scripture. Isaiah chapter 45 verse 19. If you like, you can add the scripture, Ephesians chapter 5 verse 1 to that, so that you know that you are to follow the example of your Father God. Just be an imitator of God. Do like your Father. He doesn't do anything in vain, so I'm not going to do anything in vain. So I believe that everything I do is done according to a definite purpose and a definite goal. There's a definite vision. There's a definite expectation. There's an expected end. So as I seek God with fasting and praying, I expect God to respond to my efforts in seeking him and perform his word that I'm standing on as I seek him. He has given us his word for 2022. So every one of us has to expect that there shall be a performance of the word of God as we seek him diligently with fasting and praying. God never makes empty promises. But we can miss out on those promises if we don't act in faith in response to them. In fact, put your finger right there. We shall make the last statement in a short while. Let's turn to the gospel according to St. Luke. You see, we find all through the Bible a consistent God. So there's nothing that should make you and I to be confused about the ways of God, except if we are ignorant. That's all. We ought to know the truth. Verse 45, remember that this verse 45 that we're about to read is part of what Elizabeth said under the influence of the Holy Spirit. So we know this is coming from the mouth of God himself. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Praise God. So Elizabeth was speaking by the Holy Spirit. So this was not Elizabeth speaking because she ate a good food or she just felt good and felt like, oh, let me encourage Mary with these words. No, no, no. This is the Holy Spirit moving Elizabeth to speak. This is God actually speaking directly to Mary through Elizabeth. Because if you back up to verse 41, it says, and it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she spake. So she spake by the Holy Spirit. Now look at verse 45. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. God never makes empty promises, but you have to believe. What happens if I don't believe? Well, God can't perform. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. So we expect the performance of the word of God as we fast and pray. As we seek him with fasting and praying, we expect him to perform his word that he has given to us that we are running with in the new year, 2022. Hallelujah. 2022 is going to be a glorious year for us all. It's going to be a great year that we experience the comfort of God like we never did before. He's going to comfort us on every side as he has given us the word. And we shall be sharing on that. Oh, it's a year that will bring us joy unspeakable, full of glory. Because God himself, God himself is going to intervene in our lives as we seek him with all our hearts and with all diligence. There shall be a performance. So we expect God to perform his word as we believe it and run with it. There shall be a performance. Who is going to perform it? God himself. Is it going to be by our human power or might? No, it's going to be by the Spirit of God himself. That's what the Holy Spirit is saying to Mary. What God has said to you, he will perform. You are going to be the mother of the Son of God. Let me put it that way. Miraculously. Our God is faithful. Now back to our note. Finally, please write this down. The key to ensuring that we don't seek God in vain is to seek him, number one, with all our hearts, Jeremiah 29 verse 13, and secondly, diligently, Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6. Okay, the key to ensuring that we don't seek God in vain is to seek him, number one, with all our heart. So we have to seek God with sincere heart. With all our heart, Jeremiah 29 verse 13. And number two, diligently, or with all diligence, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Then, please make this note then, based on Hebrews 11, 6, that you should expect God to reward you for seeking him. So be expectant. We have to be expectant. Faith and expectation work together. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. So we have to be full of hope that we are going to be rewarded by God for seeking him. And the first and foremost reward is the performance of his word that he has given to us, just as we saw right there in Luke chapter 1 verse 45. If you believe, then there shall be a performance of the word of God. Please write this also now. I want you to meditate on these two key things also. That's as part of the reward that God will bring to you and me as we seek him. Number one, Psalm chapter 22 verse 26. It says there that they shall praise the Lord that seek him. In other words, as we seek the Lord, hallelujah, we are going to be in a position to praise God, number one, and also we are going to seek him with our praise. It's a two-edged sword. When you seek the Lord, praising God is part of seeking the Lord, because you are offering to him a sacrifice. And now God responds to that sacrifice of praise by blessing you and putting you in a position to praise him some more. Oh, look at what God has done for me. God has done great things for me. Oh, hallelujah. But in seeking him, praise is involved. For instance, prayer as praise, as aspect of prayer, even in what we call the Lord's Prayer. And then number two, Psalm chapter 69 verse 32. It says there in the latter part of that verse, your heart shall live that seek the Lord. Your heart shall live that seek the Lord. The word live there means revive. So God is going to revive you. He's going to bring you new life. It means to be revived and to be full of life and health. So God is going to revive all areas of your life, fill you up with his life, fill you up with his health as you seek him. Your heart shall live that seek the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory be to God in the highest. Well, let's lift our hands to him and thank him. Oh, we are not seeking the Lord in vain. We are not seeking the Lord in vain. We are full of expectation. Oh, we are full of hope for 2022. We don't listen to what people are saying in the world. Our ears are open to the voice of God, not to the voice of man. God has given us his word. 2022, divine comfort on every side. Hallelujah.